Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the record of General Abner going over to the site of David, and then the murder of Abner by Joab. Let's begin by reading the first 21 verses. 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His first was Amnon by Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. His second, Kileab, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. Now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone in to my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers, and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David saying, "Whose is the land?" saying also, "Make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you." And David said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you. You shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, the son of Laish. Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go return," and he returned. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies.'" And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, "I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 3, with some background notes. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, we had the victory of David's army under General Joab over Ishbosheth's army under General Abner. Although this battle was clearly a victory for David's forces, it was not enough to end the state of war between the house of David and the house of Saul. That is a long state of cold war without a lot of open decisive battles existed for this time period. It was during this time that Abner and Ishbosheth had a falling out when Ishbosheth accused Abner of going into one of Saul's former concubines, Rizpah. Abner was so furious about this accusation that he told Ishbosheth that he was going to deliver the kingdom over to David, and he proceeded to lay the groundwork to do just that. So Abner and 20 officials from northern Israel came to David at Hebron to arrange for the expanded kingdom of David to include all of Israel. Well, so much for background for 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter. So, doctrinal point number one, he who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. He who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. This doctrinal point, of course, is a verse of Scripture. It is Galatians 6:8. So if you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. That is, you will destroy your life. You know, this is true even of believers. When believers sow to the flesh, they reap the consequences and destroy what could have been a lifetime of committed service and glory to the Lord. Now, where do we see this biblical truth presented in this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 3? We see it at the beginning of the chapter when we read of David's polygamy and then know the consequences. God's word had clearly stated that kings were not to practice polygamy. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. David certainly knew this law, but he disobeyed it and sowed to the flesh and had several wives and concubines. As a result, there was heartache after heartache in David's family, and David's life and reign were marred with terrible scars. Because of the flesh, David committed adultery and murder. Amnon raped his sister Tamar. Absalom killed Amnon. Absalom usurped the throne of his father David. Absalom was killed by Joab. Why all of this bad fallout? Answer, he who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. We can even see this lesson illustrated here in the life of Paltiel in verses 15 and 16. Now, we might feel sorry for this man as his wife is taken away from him, but he should have refused to marry her in the first place because Michal was David's wife. Even though Saul offered Michal to Paltiel when David was in the wilderness, Paltiel should have refused this desire of the flesh to be married to the king's daughter because she was David's wife. As a result, Paltiel reaped what he had sown. We must resist the wrong desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh must be held in check. He who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. Doctrinal point number two. The wrath of man shall praise God. The wrath of man shall praise God. Verses 22 through 39. At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away, and he is already gone? Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing. And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on a staff or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother, Asahel, at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, gird yourselves with sackcloth, and mourn for Abner. And King David followed the coffin. So they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. And all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I am weak today, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." When Joab heard that David was making a deal with Abner, he was not pleased. Abner, remember, had killed his brother Asahel. And Joab saw his own position as general of David's army threatened by General Abner joining the ranks. So when Joab came back into town, he lured Abner back to Hebron and killed him in the gate at Hebron. David was not pleased with this turn of events, as you can well imagine. In fact, he pronounced a curse on Joab and his descendants in verse 29 and forced Joab to publicly mourn Abner's death. Even though Abner had killed Asahel, Joab was not justified in taking revenge. Abner had killed Asahel in self-defense during time of war, and only after giving him a warning and chance to escape. Furthermore, Hebron was a city of refuge, and Abner was entitled to a fair trial. Now, when the people saw that David was genuine in his sorrow and in his burial of Abner with full military honors, it further paved the way for David to become king over all Israel. Now, all of this illustrates our doctrinal point. The wrath of man shall praise God. That is a quote from Psalm 76, verse 10. When we think of all the sin and war and intrigue that we have presented in this chapter, we are amazed to find that God was working through it all to accomplish his good plan and purpose of bringing David to the throne over all of Israel. And the same is true today. Think of all the sin and war and intrigue going on between nations in the world today. And yet God is working through all of this to bring about the worldwide kingdom of Christ in the future. The wrath of man shall praise God. Now what about practical application from 2 Samuel chapter 3? Hope that the sermon text at your funeral is in context. Hope that the sermon text at your funeral is in context. Would you want 2 Samuel 3:38 to be the sermon text at your funeral? Then the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel?" It sounds good at first, but when you look at the context, I don't think you would want this as the biblical text at your funeral. Abner was a self-seeking, power-hungry individual. He was a shrewd schemer. He was out for number one. He only joined David when he saw the handwriting on the wall that Ishbosheth's kingdom was doomed. David was saying all of these accolades about Abner to win favor with the northern tribes of Israel. To use this as a sermon text at the funeral of a godly leader today would be way out of context. So hope that the sermon text at your funeral is in context.